Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report. Sorry, got some echo going on. I'm Matt Matera, and we got a big show coming in store today. It is franchise day as well, and the big news is about Antoine Winfield Jr. and his franchise tag placement by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to get into all of that and more. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. And Scott, this move comes as not necessarily a surprise, but just a wink and a nod into the proper direction that the Bucs are going, is it not?
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is it's a good sign because Antoine Winfield Jr. will be a Buccaneer for this year. So this is really two players now that the Buccaneers have essentially re-signed. Tagging Winfield, I firmly believe they're going to get a deal done before July. That's the deadline. I think it's July 17th or 19th.
Yeah.
Way in the summer. They've made a lot of progress. I think a deal is going to get done before then. On a long-term deal, so he won't be playing on this franchise tag. It's a placeholder right now until they agree to terms, but time was running out, and they had to shift their focus from Winfield to Baker Mayfield as Monday creeps up. Remember, that's the open negotiation period or the legal tampering period, if you will, for NFL free agency, and that's when teams – agents can out in the open rather than in the hallways in the bars in Indianapolis at the combine. Mm-hmm. That's when then they can out in the open make offers, talk contracts with players still under contract, essentially. Then free agency kicks in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. on the 13th. So right now it's two in the bag for Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davidson, and Jason Light. And they're focusing now on Baker Mayfield trying to get a deal done before he hits free agency.
Yeah, and we've seen the Bucs do this before, like with Chris Godwin, for example, where they put the franchise tag on him. Now, they did franchise tag Chris Godwin twice, but I'm talking about the second time they put the franchise tag on Chris Godwin. That was, and the buzzword today is going to be placeholder. That was just a placeholder for Chris Godwin to guarantee that he was going to be on the team. And then, as you said, you got plenty of time. I believe the date is July 15th. The Bucs have that amount of time to come to a contract extension with Antoine Winfield Jr. And the beauty of this franchise tag is that it's at $17 million. So worst case scenario, he's getting paid that. However, just based on discussions and how the market is going to be moving, and of course, it's always moving up, and Winfield, I think, more than deserves to be the highest paid safety in the NFL. The current highest paid safety is former Florida State Seminole great Derwin James of the Chargers, who's getting about $19 million per season. So the odds are that Winfield is at least, at the worst, going to get a contract at the same amount of value, but probably is going to get that $20 million range and kind of reset the market for safeties overall. This is not a surprise to Jason Light, Jack Davidson, and Mike Greenberg. They obviously saw this coming down the road. And that's what always makes just this whole business so funny and interesting. Because on the field, you're like, yes, Antoine, do that. Knock the ball out at the line of scrimmage. Right. And then it's like, damn, for every time he knocks that ball out of the goal line for a touchback, that's another like $5 million that they have to pay him. So he obviously deserves it. And I think what's most important more than anything else is that they keep him, regardless of what happens with Baker Mayfield, and we'll talk plenty about that today and tomorrow and the rest of free agency. It was vital, absolutely vital, that Antoine Winfield Jr. is back with the Bucs in any capacity. And so it was important that you got him at least to stay in Tampa Bay for one more season, because you can make the argument he's the most important player on this team. I know Mike was the first signing. There's a strong argument to be made that Antoine Winfield Jr. is just as, if not more important, to the Bucs being a winning football team in the 2024 season.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and there have been some reports out there that Baker Mayfield's deal is essentially done. That is not the case. I know that there are some reports out there. It's not what I've heard, and I've heard what I just told you within the past hour. Here it is, 4 o'clock. So I don't know that they're close enough to where you could say it's essentially done. Have they made some progress? Yes, they have, but I don't believe a deal is imminent. That can always change. All it takes is the agent or the player to come out and say, yep, we'll accept that offer, and boom, then it's done. But I think it's still in the negotiation phase right now, and both sides are exchanging numbers, going back and forth. So I caution people to assume that there is going to be an announcement tomorrow. There could be. There very well could be. But
that'd be pretty cool if they announced it tomorrow.
Yeah, but to my knowledge, I do not believe that you could say that the deal is essentially done right now between Baker Mayfield and the Bucs.
I know a lot of Bucs fans would effing love that, including Paul, a.k.a. Florida Dreamhouse. So thank you, Paul, for the $2 super chat, who says, I effing love Bucs football and Pewter Report, and does the pound emoji as well.
Yeah,
we love you too, Paul. Appreciate all your support throughout the season and in the offseason as well. And can't thank you enough for all of that. And we got a comment from a good question as well from Kieran Butt, who says, do we know if Winfield would be willing to play on the tag if a deal somehow doesn't get struck? I think it's a pretty good question. Just knowing Antoine and talking to him in the locker room and how he kind of goes about his business. He's always smiling, very happy, whether it's good times or bad times. I feel like he would bet on himself and play on it. But, you know, once other people get into his ear and maybe advise him to do something different, that could always change. But I don't know. I look at, maybe it's because they're in the same draft class, but personality-wise, I think Winfield and like Tristan Wirfs, for example, are kind of like similar people in terms of their demeanor and how they approach life in general. So that would not be something in the case of Antoine Winfield Jr. that I would necessarily worry about too much.
I agree. You well said, man. I totally agree. And really that speaks to Jason Light, right? That speaks to him and the type of players that he and John Spytek and Mike Beale and the organization drafts. They draft good guys that love football, not money, right? I mean, we all want to get paid for what we do, even if this is our passion. I've been doing this 29 years. I've yet to.
Hey, I would take the franchise tag to do this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we have families to feed. Would I do this for free? Yes. I would greatly prefer not to. I enjoy getting, you know, paid every 2 weeks. Having said that, though, I don't think that Winfield is out there every pass breakup, every forced fumble, fumble recovery, sack, interception, going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah. He's not doing this. The money is not on his mind. It's about winning football games. Because if you do that, guess what? And you have that mature mindset, if you're passionate about football, like, the rest will come. I mean, we've seen that time and time again with legends in this market. Levante David, Mike Evans, the two most recent guys that have been here 10 years plus, that continue to get paid, continue to re-sign, and they do it for the love of the game, and they bleed red and pewter. And I think that's important. I just received a communique from somebody in the know with the Baker Mayfield negotiations, and the two words are not close. So there we go. So that is fresh as of 4-11 content right there. Not close between Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. Now, keep in mind, that can change at the drop of a hat, okay? Some of this is maddening to people, and it's like, you know, you see Pro Football Talk, they came out and say, what was their headline? Antoine Winfield Jr. got franchise tag. Baker Mayfield to hit free agency. Well, not necessarily.
No.
Okay.
They still have a week.
Yeah. They still have some time here right now. On tomorrow's show, we might as well plug it. We'll do it right now. It's 4 o'clock on Wednesday. Will Baker Mayfield hit free agency? That's the question we pose, and we'll have more updates for you pewter people as we get them. And it might even happen live here on the show as I just got an update.
So cool.
Yeah.
Scott, and I used to have a run when I wasn't on the show every single time, but it would be you and I, and then there'd be some type of breaking news now, to different degrees. But that would be fun if we could throw it back one more time with some breaking news.
I'm with you, Matt. It's always fun to do that with you and to break some news here live on the Pewter Report podcast. But as it stands right now, not close. So this is Tuesday. They still have several days until Monday's open negotiating period. And you see, and you've seen how a lot of times deadlines are put in there for a reason, right? That's a lot of these deals come down to the deadlines. Mike got his deal done a little earlier, much to the glee of guys like Jason Light and Mike Greenberg and female in charge over there, Jackie Davidson. You know, they love when deals get done because then it's on to the next one. This is a really unique situation. I mean, Jason's been doing this for 10 years now. This is year 11. And Matt, I can't remember a free agency period where they've had so many star players at one time to deal with.
Yeah, I would say maybe after they won the Super Bowl in 2020 because they needed, Godwin back. They needed Shaq back.
Right.
Sue. But, you know, that was different. Yeah. That was a little bit of like a one-year deal type of thing. But, I'm in agreement. Outside of like that season, and we could argue another time like which one was more important at the time. But, I mean, Antoine Winfield Jr., All-Pro, first-team safety, that whole thing. Baker Mayfield revives his career. Fantastic season. Pro Bowl quarterback, Pro Bowl MVP. Mike Evans, what else do we really have to say about him? Led the league in touchdowns. Yeah. Future Hall of Famer. Hopefully breaks the record next season with 1,000 yards. And, by the way, Levante David, who had his best season probably since, like, I believe 2015 or 2016, when you talk about the amount of tackles he had, tackles for loss, his best year since 5 to 6, 7 seasons ago, not to mention that he missed 2 games this season with injury and was still a tackling machine. So it's no surprise when Jason Light said our offseason is going to be re-signing our guys, and then we'll see how much money we have left over and find another free agent. But I think that's totally fine because that shows that this front office has built a sustainable winner. I mean, again, they've won the division 3 years in a row. They've made the playoffs 4 years in a row. The one time they didn't win the division, they got in the wild card and they won the Super Bowl. So, yes, you want to win the Super Bowl every single year. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
On top of that, you want to build a sustainable team that year in and year out is competing for the playoffs, because once you get into the dance, you can convince yourself, hey, well, this, and this happens, you can go on a run and gain some momentum. Sometimes momentum is all you need when you get into the postseason. Like if the Bucs beat the Lions in that divisional round, who's to say that finally things don't click together and they put up a better performance against the 49ers? I don't know, but you got to get there first.
That's right.
And that's what these early steps are getting into. So that's why it's important.
And
they already re-signed Mike. So now one less thing to focus on.
That's right. And Mayfield and David, like you mentioned, and don't let's not forget Monty McLaughlin.
Yes.
Chase McLaughlin, the kicker. You got to get him back. You know, I mean, holy smokes, Jason Light took forever to find the kicker, right? I mean, it was his Achilles heel. Then he finds Ryan Succop and helped him, or I should say he helped this franchise win a Super Bowl and had 3 good seasons. The only problem with Ryan Succop was his age. He just was in his late 30s. And now Chase McLaughlin is, had a fantastic year, hitting over 90% of his field goals in Tampa, all of his extra points. So he's definitely one of those guys that they really need to re-sign for sure.
Yeah.
Money McLaughlin. I mean, he's up there as well. Probably not the priority that Baker is and Levante David. There is a pecking
order. Yeah.
But listen, if they can strike a deal with McLaughlin and get him under contract, he is just as vital a piece as really any of them, because how many times did the Buccaneers in those Jameis Winston years, Winston does his job and gets the team down to field goal range. And it's whether it's Matt Gay or Pat Murray or, you know, Chandler Catanzaro, or you name any of the eight kickers that Jason Light had on this team, they wouldn't make them. And it resulted in Buccaneer losses. So
yeah,
and
it's funny.
Definitely somebody has to get back.
For some of the Pewter people that maybe didn't hear, yesterday Scott was on the Ronnie and T Crash show, and I was listening to it. And you know, obviously a lot of questions about Baker and Mike, and understandably so. But eventually they got around to Chase McLaughlin, and I think you were as excited, if not more excited, to talk about Chase Money McLaughlin, the Chase Bank. Than some of the other Bucs players that were discussed.
Yeah, I remember Ronnie's like, I know it's not a sexy position talking about kickers. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Money McLaughlin is sexy, man.
Winning
I've
is
seen
sexy.
Too many missed field goals, too many as a result that have resulted in losses. Yeah, yeah. I want to see good field goal kicking, man. It's a field goal league. It still is. It always comes down to the fourth quarter. And whether you make it, whether you miss it, I mean, it's just kind of how it is in this league. Yeah. It's still a game that's decided by one scores, and those one scores are still field goals. And you show me the Super Bowl winners throughout history that have had bad field goal kickers, and you know, I don't think there are any. I think you could look back at Adam Vinatieri's and the Stephen Gostkowski's. Tom Brady might not even have any Super Bowl rings if not for those guys, because all of his Super Bowls in New England were pretty much close games coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
His only Super Bowl blowout, Matt, was when he was a Buccaneer.
That was his only blowout. The only other time he didn't really need the kicker too much was when they beat his last two Super Bowls that he won, because when they beat the Rams 13-3, and it was probably the worst Super Bowl game in the last 25 years. And then, the blowout against Kansas City. So definitely very important about Chase McLaughlin. But Scott, I wanted to ask you, just curious to get your opinion about this, because I was thinking about this with the Mike deal. Obviously it came, his agent Derek Gilmore was saying Mike wants to play with an elite quarterback, and you know, all that thing, and some of it's agent talk. You want to get the best deal for your client, absolutely understand that. And then the story or narrative kind of changed to, hey, Mike called me up and said I want to be a Buck for life, which obviously kind of limits his negotiating prowess to a little bit. But I'm curious, did it feel at all like a game of chicken? Like you got the Bucks in one car and Mike Evans in the other car. They're coming near you, but we're coming straight ahead. And both sides are like, we want to be in Tampa. We love Tampa, but the finances got to make it right. And as closer as they got, it was Mike who was like, I don't want to pack up and move my family and go somewhere completely different. Yeah. I kind of feel like that's what happened in this whole deal and Mike calling up his agent.
And I think a lot of times what happens with players, because remember, they're the ones receiving the money, right? They're the ones getting paid, right? The team is doling out the money. They have the money and they're giving it to the player. The player is the one who's going to be receiving it. And so it puts a little bit more onus on the player to accept those terms. And a lot of times when you talk to players, what they're really telling their agent is, get me the best deal you can, not get me this, get me that, give me this exact money. Sometimes you have that. Sometimes players are motivated by, I want to be the highest paid running back or offensive lineman or whatever, right? And they'll say, I'm going to tell you what my number is. It's going to be higher than anybody else. I want to be the top paid guy because that's how I feel good about myself. That to me is validation that I am the best. Regardless of my Pro Bowls or PFF grades or whatever, it's how much money do I make? That's the focus for some players. Traditionally, not Tampa Bay Buccaneer players, because they play for the love of the game and they play to win games and championships. And they want to get paid, but they want the best deal that can be reached. And sometimes, an NFL team says, we only have X amount of cap space. The pie is only so big. So we can cut you this big piece here, but doing so might prevent us from bringing your teammate back, right? So there's that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's, yeah, give me the best deal possible, not I want that this much money. And I think that's what Mike said, is give me the best deal possible. Derek Gilmore, his agent, came to him and said, this is the deal. And Mike said, done, make me a buck for life, right? And it's what you're comfortable with if you're Mike Evans. It's not the best deal out there, because the best deal out there, honestly, is in free agency. That's where the best deal is. And he chose not to go that route. He wanted to make things easy for the team to come to terms now, because the bigger of the slice of pie that Mike Evans gets, the less there is for everybody else that needs to get re-signed. And I don't think Mike would want to be the reason why Lavonte David wouldn't come back or things like that. And, you know, for the brief 3-year span that Tom Brady was here, I mean, Tom Brady was $25 million a year. Yeah. Baker Mayfield's probably going to make more as a Buccaneer quarterback than Brady did. But Brady always, in all of his greatness, he was never the highest paid quarterback in the league. He never wanted that distinction, because he knew that, A, if he did well and his teammates helped him win Super Bowls, all the endorsement deals would make up for that money, right? And they
winning
did.
Winning brings in a lot of money. And Mike Evans said that as well after 2020 like restructure. When he would restructure his contract, he's not losing any money, but he's just getting paid at different times. Yeah. And that was something you talked about after they won the Super Bowl in 2020. Yeah. He said, when you win, like, more things come with it. I'm sure more ads came through and all that different stuff. So there was a little bit of an update with the contract of Mike Evans. Obviously, the first reports and the first announcement when he was signed, it was 2 years, $52 million and $35 million guaranteed. Further reports have come out, and essentially, and Aaron Wilson was one of them to break it. So essentially, it's 2 years, $41 million. So that's $20.5 million per season. The 52 comes in with a number of incentives that Mike Evans can get and reach to get that $52 million. And the $35 million is still in play as well, I believe.
Yeah, in terms of the guaranteed money, right? And,
yes.
And so then if you look at – this is Aaron Wilson's tweets on X, if we're still calling them tweets – a $21.79 million roster bonus in 2024 for accounting purposes instead of a signing bonus. And that's how Mike Greenberg likes to operate, right? Yes. He likes to use those roster bonuses. And so really what it does, and you can you know, read the numbers here. If you're listening on the audio podcast, we're not going to read the whole thing, but we encourage you to check out our Pewter Report TV YouTube channel and watch that. Watch this episode, and it'll have all the breakdowns.
I may clip it up as well for everybody to take a look at.
Yeah. So basically, Josh Capo, our own Josh Capo, says that the cap hits should be for Mike in 2024 $5.568 million. Okay, so he's not getting paid $21 million or $26 million. It's going to be $5.5 million roughly. Then his cap value in 2025 would be $22.358 million. And that would go up if he hits certain escalators. And there are some bonuses and escalators in this deal. And as Aaron.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Aaron Wilson explains there are likely to be around $3 million escalators if he catches 70 passes for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. So if he does that, then his 2025 pay escalates, right? And then to make $52 million, he's got to trigger a $2 million annual incentive for being ranked in the top 10 in catches, yards, and touchdowns. Then he also has an annual playoff incentive for both years of $2 million. So that's where the maximum value comes in if he hits the 70 catches, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns, and if he also gets within the top 10 among receivers in catches, yards, and touchdowns, and If they make the playoffs in each of the next two seasons, then he gets an extra $2 million per season. So that's $4 million right there. So that's the good news. Now, in 2026, Evans will have a dead cap hit of $13 million. And I know that sounds a little scary, but keep in mind, the salary cap continues to go up.
Yeah.
And so $13 million in today's money will actually be less in 2026 because there'll be more increases in the cap. And not to mention that, if Mike Evans does want to re-sign for, like, let's say another year, then the Buccaneers can go in and kind of restructure that $13 million and kick the can down a little bit down the road for one more season and not make that dead cap hit be as robust in 2026. So Mike Greenberg does it again with only $5.5 million for his cap hit this year. That's kind of a bargain, man.
As if building and constructing a roster wasn't difficult enough, you also have to factor in and project what the cap might be in two seasons from now. So
yeah,
very difficult work, but that's why Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davidson, Jason Light are the absolute best in the game when it comes to building a roster and navigating through all the finances to make it work and make it most appealing to the Buccaneers. But speaking of best in the game, if we're talking about energy drinks, you know that the best in the game is the Celsius energy drinks, which are the official energy drinks of PewterReport.com. Make sure you check out the new line of Celsius, the Celsius Essentials, which have 270 milligrams of caffeine. They are the tall boy versions of Celsius energy drinks. They got some awesome flavors, including the Blue Crush and the Dragon Berry. Make sure you check out some of the original flavors as well. The Cucumber Lime, Strawberry Lemonade, Sparkling Orange, Sparkling Watermelon, and Tropical Vibe. Arctic Vibe is awesome as well. Love that Arctic Vibe. If you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, go to the Celsius store locator on their website. Punch in your address and tell you the closest location where you can find one. We did that same exact thing when we were in Indianapolis last week for the Combine. I'll tell you the closest place to pick one up could be Walmart, 7-Eleven, Health and Fitness Store, or your bodega.
Bodega.
That's a good one. Thank you. Not that they're ever bad, but that, I don't know, that one stuck out a little bit more. But anyway, once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love it and you want to get more, you can buy it in bulk. I'd recommend getting that variety pack because you heard me rattle off a bunch of flavors of Celsius. Variety is the spice of life. Get as many flavors as you possibly can. You do that by heading on over to Amazon. Click on the subscribe and save. You can have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge. You're the captain. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Draft season's coming up, so make it your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Peter Report podcast.
Yep. Draft season is coming up. We have a special favor to ask each and every one of you Peter people, and we love you guys. We do. We love slightly more the 13,000 plus that have already subscribed to Peter Report TV on our YouTube channel.
Just a little bit more.
We want you to join that club and get all of the love from us. We really appreciate everybody out there who subscribes. Now, don't let the word subscribe scare you. It's just a button to click. They call it subscribe. It's free. All you have to do is go to our YouTube channel, Peter Report TV, hit subscribe. Then if you want to hit notifications, you can do that too. It's free. You can hit notifications. You get a little bell and a notification that goes off when we go live or when we post new content on our Peter Report TV YouTube channel. So it's simple. It's easy. Our goal is to get to 14,000.
Yeah.
We're about, 13,400 right now. So we've got
We're getting close to that. We're getting close to 13,400. Yeah.
So help us out. I would love to see 50 people from today's show go ahead and boost our numbers and get us up over 13,400 today. That would be awesome. And again, we want to do this by the draft. We have some time, but time is running out. We're less than 2 months away. So help us climb that mountain and go from, as Matt always says, go from Mike Evans with 13 to Chris Godwin at 14 to get us to 14,000.
And then we'll go praise be. And yeah, the notification is great too, because we have the podcast at 4 o'clock. Those are scheduled, but sometimes we'll have an emergency podcast if there's if there's a big move. We always have videos dropping out, and there's not always a rhyme or reason. Sometimes it's based on the news, like if we do a Mike Evans reaction video. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe we'll go live sometimes. Maybe I'll be playing Madden. Maybe some other news will drop, and we decide to go live about it. So you never know when new content from Pewter Report is coming out, and especially with the Baker news.
Right.
Supposedly.
Just to reiterate from earlier in the show, just for you people that are joining it live, there is a rumor going out there that the Bucks and Baker have come to terms on a deal, and it'll be announced tomorrow. That is not the case. I heard about 20 minutes ago, live here on the show, from somebody well in the know that said they are not close with Baker Mayfield. Now, that could change in a moment's notice. It could change in a matter of moments. But yeah, as it stands right now, as of 4:30 here on Tuesday, that they are not close to a deal. So nothing is imminent. Don't expect the deal tomorrow. Could happen. But as it stands right now, that is not the case.
So what I'm curious about, Scott, and, you know, we'll table a lot of the Baker discussion for tomorrow on tomorrow's show. We'll really dive deep into Baker. So stay tuned for that, everybody, in the chat. As far as the moves that have already been done, the signing of or re-signing of Mike Evans, the franchise tag of Antoine Winfield Jr., presumably to get a new contract. How much does that change, impact, or alter their current plans for free agency? Because in my opinion, I don't necessarily think it changes much. I just think they're kind of like right on track, and they had to do A, B, C, and D in order to get to free agency. And they already got A and B done, and C could be right around the corner with eventually when the Baker move gets figured out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've kind of deprioritized him, and I think to a degree the team has as well. Although, from what I understand, the Bucks are in constant communication with Lavonte David. Mm-hmm. But the communication is, hold on, Lavonte, hold on. We want you. We know you want to come back. We're going to do the deal. We got to get some of these deals done ahead of time because we got to have our quarterback back. We got to have our icon wide receiver back. We got to do something with Antoine Winfield Jr. You don't play without Antoine next year, do you? No, of course you don't. So just let us get Antoine back, and then we'll get around to you. But Lavonte David, like that's really high on the priority list this year, more so than any other year, because this team back in 2019, which was the first year with Bruce Arians as the head coach, Todd Bowles as the defensive coordinator. We just got back from Indy, Matt. And back in 2019, when Jason Light and Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians interviewed Devin White, they said, wow, we found our linebacker. And they drafted him with the fifth overall pick.
They did.
Say what you want about Devin. He helped this team win a Super Bowl. Yep. When Devin was good, he was actually great.
Yes. But
the problem is when Devin was not good, he was actually awful. And those highs and lows could not really be rationed or reasoned into a consistent level of play. And as a result, they're going to let him walk, and they're going to go. And we reported this at Pewter Report during the middle of the season. I mean, he was not coming back, and they're going to go with KJ Britt, who's in a contract year, JJ Russell. But more importantly, they don't want to, in Todd Bowles' defense, which relies on two inside linebackers, they don't want to have to replace both of those guys this year. That's why it's critical that Lavonte David comes back this year and provides some stability, because replacing Devin is one thing, but if you had to replace Devin and Lavonte, that would be a big blow to this defense, just in terms of continuity, getting guys lined up, knowledge of the scheme, et cetera.
First of all, this is a great comment by Nathan Elliott, who says, LSU players are like gasoline. They burn hot, but burn out fast. Now, that's not the case for everybody, because Joe Burrow, I think, is the exception to that. But Devin White, you're seeing it. Odell Beckham, kind of like the career that he had. And Jamal Adams, another one who kind of came onto the scene and then fizzled out for sure. But, yeah, to get back to your point, Scott, I think Bucks fans and, unfortunately, Lavonte David as well, there has to be a degree of patience.
Yeah.
Patience in all of this. Because if you look around the rest of the league, how many other teams have already had to make decisions on more than one of their top guys? Like, it's been a lot of Mike Evans and Antoine Winfield Jr. The Giants, you see something with Saquon. The Dolphins let go of one of their guys today, but it's usually just one move. The Bucks, we're talking about two separate moves, and both to bring back their own players. Any team can kind of just go and cut someone, and then bam, you're on to the next thing. It's way tougher what Tampa Bay is doing, which is bringing back their guys, which they've shown that they have the magnitude to get it done over and over and over again. I don't know what else Jason Light, Jackie Davidson, and Mike Greenberg have to do to prove everybody that, like, hey, if we want our people, we will do it. Because year after year, they continue to do it. It didn't matter if it was Carlton Davis or Jamel right. Dean or Levante David last year. They're going to try to do it again. So unfortunately for Levante, he just falls a little bit further down the pecking order. It doesn't make him any less important to this defense. It's just we're talking about quarterback. We're talking about quarterback and an all-pro player on defense that's just younger than Levante David. There's nothing Levante can really do about that.
Yeah.
So it's really just a game of patience, I think, that everyone really has to understand, and it'll get done, and it'll be sweet at the moment when it goes down.
And you know what?
Just need to wait a little bit more.
I think that the Bucs are going to give him a raise over last year, right?
He deserves it.
He definitely deserves it. Now, it was a 4 or 5 year deal last year with incentives. I think it was a $4.5 million deal with incentives that got up to $7.5 million. So, yeah, it ended up being an okay deal for a 33-year-old linebacker. Now Levante is 34. He's still coming off a really good season, actually better season than he had the year prior. And so, for me, I think that he deserves a raise. Now, I'm not the one writing the checks. I'm not the one who's budgeting the Bucs salary cap expenditures. My last name is not Greenberg, nor is it Light, nor Davidson, nor Glazier. But if I had my druthers, I would give Levante a raise, whether that is fully guaranteed, you know, $8 or $9 million, rather than having the incentives in there. I don't know, but I think that he's still playing at a very high level. I think he's even playing better than Bobby Wagner, right?
Who's
kind of his draft counterpart, and in my opinion, has stolen some of those Pro Bowls from Levante David. Not that Bobby Wagner didn't deserve them, but there's only so many linebackers, inside linebackers that you have in the Pro Bowl, and Luke Kuechly took some, and Bobby Wagner took others throughout the year. Here's another linebacker. This is a little bit of a blast from the past year. We were just talking about LSU players. You brought that up, Matt. Nathan Elliott, Michael Clayton, Leonard Fournette, Quan Alexander, and many others. So, LSU has been a team that the Bucs have had some affinity for, but those players haven't always panned out, certainly over the long haul. So Nathan Elliott helps us out with some more names there that have a Buccaneer connotation to him.
I'm curious, for the sake of Levante, if you're the advocate for Levante David, I know Rondé has talked about doing 1 year deal after 1 year deal. And a lot of it obviously is precedent on how long Levante wants to play, but would it almost be better for Levante to seek out a 2 year deal versus a 1 year deal? If he has in his own mind, hey, I want to play for at least two more seasons, because you could do the 1 year deal and get paid more than he did last year. And then you're kind of gambling again, where if you play better, then you can get another pay bump the following season. Or, hey, I already played really well last season. Let me kind of bank in now. And then whatever happens next season, like, I don't know how much more I could totally exceed what I did.
I don't know if the Buccaneers would do it, but if I'm Levante, I would just say, give me a fully guaranteed 2 year deal. Right, for whatever your terms are, $7 million, $8 million, $10 million, whatever, right? Because that way, at least, if his play does fall off, then he
whatever
has
you're
that,
paying me.
Yeah, then he's got that bank in 2025. Even if the team wants to cut him, it's still guaranteed money, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a huge Levante David fan. I don't want to cost the Buccaneers any money, but I wouldn't mind being his agent just to see him get his just desserts, because I think he's been snubbed throughout the years. It's not like he's been underpaid. He's been well paid by this organization, but there comes a point in time where there's diminishing returns. Even Rondé Barber in his twilight was not making as much as he was in his prime, and that's to be expected. So I get that, but I just feel like Levante David deserves a nice attaboy contract. And I wouldn't mind seeing a multi-year deal like you proposed, man.
Yeah, in this experiment, I guess, I'm looking at this as if I'm a representative of Levante David.
Yeah.
If you're the Buccaneers, you don't want to sign up for guaranteed money or to commit more money after one season. Because there is a little bit of that elephant in the room with Levante, a little bit with Mike, but he's under contract now. There is an elephant in the room of when – do you start dropping off a little bit? Because we've seen it in Bucks history. I mean, it unfortunately, it happens to Derrick Brooks eventually. And Warren Sapp, I think that's part of the reason why, even though he kind of had a good season with the Raiders, but, you know, Warren Sapp didn't end a Buck.
His contract was up, and the Bucks decided to re-sign Booger McFarland and pay him money rather than Warren Sapp. And, you know, that didn't work out really well. Booger was more of a nose tackle. He thought he was a three tech. He really wasn't a three tech. The sack production was never there. And then he ended up getting, you know, hurt and went to Indy. Booger McFarland's, and I love Booger. I'm not besmirching him whatsoever, but
LSU was, guy.
yeah. He was on two Super Bowl teams and never played in a Super Bowl. He was an injured reserve in Indy. And he was in the injured reserve in Tampa. So he's got two rings.
That's crazy. I knew about Tampa. I didn't realize that with Indy.
Never able to play in the Super Bowl because he was hurt. So, But as Nathan says, another LSU pick. Yeah. They've worked a little bit for this franchise, but not as much as some would hope. So, it's going to be interesting to see if they can get Baker done. And if they can, then... In my opinion, Matt, if this team, and I put it out there on X earlier this morning, if this team can get Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr., and Baker Mayfield re-signed, and of course you have to count the franchise tag as a re-signing because now Winfield cannot go anywhere, right? They'll get the long-term deal done, but technically as of right now, he's re-signed. He hasn't signed the franchise tag yet, but he is Buccaneer property. Mm-hmm. But if they can get those three players signed, brought back before the start of free agency, I think it's an absolute coup because I'm not really worried about Chase McLaughlin and Lavonte David. Those three, Baker, Winfield, Evans, those needed to get done before free agency, in my opinion. And it, like I said, if those three are done, this is an absolute huge win before free agency starts for the Buccaneers.
It would be a gigantic win. And it's one of those, like, do they really just do it again? Yeah, they just did it again. Another place where you could win big, just like the Bucks in free agency, is over at mybookie.ag. Sign up for MyBookie either on the app or go on their website with the promo code Pewter, that's P-E-W-T-E-R, and get a cash deposit bonus the first time you sign up over at MyBookie. So that is free, absolutely free money in your MyBookie account. Even if you learn from Plant City Math, you know that is a heck of a deal. So head on over to MyBookie, start betting on all the games. Could be the NBA. You got college basketball, the men's and women's tournament of March Madness coming up very soon in a couple of weeks. Baseball's in spring training. There's a great UFC fight coming up this Saturday. And, of course, you could do a lot of different live bets as well. So check out MyBookie.ag. Use that promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R to get a first deposit bonus. Also, check out MyBookie's online casino. Obviously, people are very busy in their lives, can't always get up and get out of the house and spend an hour or two at the casino, but you can with the online casino. You can enjoy it right from the comfort of your couch, playing all the great casino games, whether it's blackjack or roulette or what have you. So once again, check out mybookie.ag. Use the promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. A little bit of other news that happened today, Scott, kind of broke right before the beginning of the show. A couple of other re-signings by the Buccaneers. These were exclusive rights free agents. They re-signed wide receiver Devin Tompkins and offensive lineman Brandon Walton, who is a backup, got a start here and there when there was injuries to the tackles two seasons ago. But Tompkins, I think, is the one that stands out a little bit more. He has been the Bucs' primary kick and punt returner over the last two seasons, especially last year. Offensively, he was used as a gadget player for the Bucs, scored his first career touchdown in week four against the New Orleans Saints as a wide receiver. Curious to see, though, for Devin Tompkins if he'll continue to be the kick and punt returner this year. Yeah. Because there is a new special teams coach, Thomas McGahee, so there's no loyalty to the incumbent, which is Tompkins. You do have a speedster in Trey Palmer that I think at least McGahee would want to take a look at. But we will see Tompkins and Walton back with the Bucs this upcoming season.
Yeah, and certainly just really for training camp battles more than anything. I think Brandon Walton showed some promise a couple years ago and then really never put himself in position to see the field this year. And we saw Justin School come in as that swing tackle that you know has replaced the likes of you know Joe Haig, who was the guy the previous year. Josh Wells.
Yes, right? Josh Wells. He got injured.
Yeah, so Brandon Walton just never really had a great camp. And even at guard, we saw not just Nick Leverett get passed up, but also Brandon Walton by Aaron Stinney, right? Stinney was the next guy up when they wanted to replace Matt Filer. So they're back. They get one more shot probably in Tampa to try to see if they can latch on and maybe increase their playing time.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Or at least the rise up the depth chart. But neither one of these guys is a lock to make the team. And Devin Tompkins, I thought, was mediocre at best as an offensive guy. I think his sole value is as a return specialist, and he's okay at that. He's not a game breaker. So I think both of those guys, Brandon Walton, Devin Tompkins, they're re-signed but also targeted for upgrade in the draft and in free agency. Neither one's a lock to make the team, but they'll have an opportunity, and they at least know the system to a degree or some familiarity in this system, which is similar to Dave Canales' system, the new scheme that Liam Cohen's bringing in.
Yeah, and especially for Tompkins, you look at that wide receiver room. You got Mike 1, Godwin 2. Wide receiver 3 is a bit of a question mark at the moment, but even outside of that, Trey Palmer. So that's your, let's just say, third wide receiver, not necessarily wide receiver 3.
Right.
Rakim Jarrett, you heard Jason Light talk about him. David Moore, if he ends up getting re-signed, that's probably your last guy to make it in the wide receiver room if they keep 5 or 6, because odds are the Bucs are going to draft the wide receiver, and that rookie wide receiver probably is going to get more of a look than Devin Tompkins, because I don't know what much else Devin Tompkins can do as a wide receiver. It used to be like, hey, he can catch everything, but then he didn't catch everything in the games themselves. Yeah, he's fast and he's got some athleticism. I don't know. Is he the only guy that can do an end around on this team? I don't necessarily think so. I think Trey Palmer can do it. There's zero
tackle breaking ability, and although he's quick and elusive, he's not
like a Darren Sprouls. And correct. I know it's a different running back.
Yeah,
but, I mean, a different position with running back versus wide receiver. But he's not like a Darren Sprouls.
Sprouls had some make you miss.
Dante Hall back in the day
from
the Chiefs. He's not like a Dante Hall or anything like that. So
what
is he really providing outside of average kick returning abilities? And I'm all for it. Like, I'd rather have as much as they're taking out the kicking game in the NFL, I'd rather at least put a threatening returner back there and say, hey, go for the home run every single time.
You know what? I kind of like the XFL rules a little bit, and I hope the NFL adopts them, because it would essentially bring the kick return back, because it penalizes you for touchbacks, which the league is so non-forward thinking. They're so reactionary to things. It's like, oh, well, we don't want the concussions. Okay, well, position the guys so they're not going to get concussed. Don't give guys a 40-yard head start.
Yeah.
But don't take the return out of the game, because that's a pretty exciting play. I mean, Devin Hester, one of the most exciting players. Yeah. That Deion Sanders. I mean, there's been a litany of guys that have that have really electrified. Michael Spurlock here in Tampa. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of the XFL rules, which we're not going to go over all of them because there are kind of several of them. But if you do a touchback, the offense gets to start at the 35-yard line. So it's
it's like kicking it out of bounds, essentially.
Yeah, it's very prohibitive. Do not do that, right? So you want to down the ball, or I should say have the ball land between the 20 and the goal line. And you start with both teams, the blockers and the coverage guys, within like 5 or 10 yards of each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so you don't have those full speed head on collisions. And it I think it's going to result in more kickoff returns for touchdowns for sure. And really change the field and flip it around a little bit. I think there's some chances to have some big plays on if it goes this way.
I'm all for the advocation of making sure that special teams is still an important yeah. element of the game. They say three
don't
phases
take
of the game.
Foot out of football.
Exactly.
Right,
don't take the foot out of football. Make it fun. Make special teams important. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl. That blocked extra point made a huge difference yep. in the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. A big kick return can make all the difference in the world in a game as well. And it'll be fun to see again, like if Trey Palmer is back there and you know he's got that blazing speed and yeah. he just needs to hit the hole and go.
Right.
I think it could be awesome. And then on the flip side, early in the regime of Keith Armstrong, the Bucs did not have good coverage in kickoff and punt. They got better over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. but some of that was kind of masked and disguised by the fact that Jake Kamada is pretty good as both a kickoff specialist and as a punter.
Right.
And with a lot more fair catches and things of that nature, it gets subdued to a degree. But yeah, I would love to see that rule. I would also love, they would never do it, but the old XFL rule where they decided who got the ball first by sprinting yeah. like 50 yards downfield to get the ball. They would yeah. never do it, but I would love to
right.
see it.
No, yeah. The XFL, I love some of those outside of the box ideas yeah. for sure. There's no doubt about it. Let's see here. No smooth transition. I can't think of one other than if you need somebody to help you buy or sell your house, holy smokes, man. Give Eric Gross a call. The Eric Gross Group. That's right. The Eric Gross Group is the official realtor of Pewter Report. And the reason why we love Eric is for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's a huge Pewter Report fan and a big time Tampa Bay fan. So let the conversation start there. All right. If you're interested in selling your home or if you need to buy a home, hey, talk some football. Get to know Eric. See if he's the right guy for you. I bet you you're going to find out that he is. But then it's also the fact that this guy's a Tampa native. He knows this area like the back of his hand. And his father was stationed in MacDill Air Force Base, for example. So he's got the roots in this area. But even if you're coming from outside the state of Florida and you're moving to, you know, somewhere that's not in the Tampa area, well, Eric can help you and on both ends of the transaction because he's part of that EXP Realty Group. So we can help you sell your house where you are and then find a house for you wherever you're living in the state, or if you want to move around the state, or let's say you have to leave Florida. Again, Eric can help you with both ends of the transaction. So he's going to take the stress out of buying and selling a home right out of the window. So don't worry about it. He's going to take all the pressure off. Let the Eric Gross Group help you out. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group. Check out their website, housesinfla.com. It's housesinfla.com for all of the inventory and open house information you're going to want. And you can also give Eric a call, 513-907-4271. No matter where you are in your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report.
Let's get to a couple comments before we end the show. Tom said, Keon Coleman only ran a 4.61.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because sometimes you see a bad score and you're like, all right, I'm done with this guy.
Yeah.
Others, it's like, okay, maybe he'll drop, and that's good for us.
Yeah.
I wonder where that stands with Keon Coleman, because Brian Branch was a guy that didn't test that well. And
that's right.
I'm sure a lot of teams are kicking themselves for passing on him and letting him get to that second round to go to Detroit.
Yeah, and I think the thing, too, with Keon Coleman is a couple things. Number one, he's going to have a chance to improve that pro day if he wants. Improve the score at his pro day, right? So
yeah.
He'll have another shot at that. NFL teams are not going to hold your worst time against you. They're going to look at your best time and say, okay, this is what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when he ran the gauntlet, the folks at the NFL, they timed his gauntlet run. It was faster than any other receiver in the draft. He was running the gauntlet at full speed across the field.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you got to have the ball in your hands, right? You're not running a track meet.
Yep.
You're playing football. And this is a guy that he's not a burner. He's not necessarily going to blow by people. He's not a 4.3 guy. But you put the ball in his hands. He's a big receiver, 6'3", 215, similar build to Mike Evans. He's a big-time contested catch guy. I think Mike has had a pretty good career doing contested catches here. Mike has not always been the separator, right? We saw a couple of massive catch and runs this year against the Panthers, against the Bears, but that's not really been Mike's calling card in the NFL. Mike has carved out a career of around 15 yards per catch, and some of that is breaking tackles, and some of that is just going up and getting it, where the cornerback is stride for stride with Mike, and Mike is going to elevate and go get it. And I think that is Keon Coleman's fit in the NFL.
And one of Keon Coleman's best traits is his ability to break tackles, or at least get the yards after the catch. And a lot of the times, if you're trying to make people miss, you're not just going north-south. You're going north-east, then northwest, then south a little bit just to get north, and then, you know, do it all over again, spin move or whatever. So, if anything, that cone drill might be more indicative of what he is as a football player than necessarily just the 40-yard dash straight down the field at the combine.
Yeah, Brian S. says Puka Nacua ran a 4.57. I think Coleman will be fine. Puka had the fastest gauntlet last year, and Coleman was faster this year. Dead straight down the line, too. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, too, is he's got great hands. I mean, he's got some phenomenal hands.
Johnny Wilson was the one that had some drop issues at Florida State. It was not Keon Coleman, though. Yeah, he was essentially Velcro.
Yeah, G. Vegas brings up a good point here as we close out the show. Unfortunately, speed doesn't help much for wide receivers. John Ross, Treylon Burks, and countless other speed combine guys have never really had a quality NFL season. Yeah, speed's one component to it, but even running backs. I've come to to really look at running backs, and as long as you can run in the 4.5s, maybe 4.6, but you can break tackles and slip tackles, that's okay, because you're not going to have those wide open alleyways. You don't see the 50 and 70 yard runs in the NFL. With regularity, it's the 15-yard runs that matter, right? You want 100 yards, you rip off a couple of 15-yard runs, and you'll have your 100-yard day. But can you break tackles? Can you slip tackles? Are you elusive? Do you have that short area quickness? That's way more important than a 40-yard dash time, and it's kind of the same way at receiver, too.
Agreed. That's what it's all about. And on tomorrow's show, this is what we're going to be all about. Will Baker Mayfield hit free agency? We're going to have a lot more discussion about Baker, his contract, where he's at with the Bucs in negotiations at the moment, some other teams that might try to take Baker Mayfield away from Tampa Bay and have them playing for their team, and a lot other discussions about Bucs free agency. So that'll be tomorrow at 4 p.m. right on our YouTube channel. Please, if you're not already doing so, follow and subscribe to all of our social media on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We are at Pewter Report, and our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. Please like and subscribe. When this episode is done, leave a comment as well. Can really be anything of any Bucks or football nature. We'd greatly appreciate it. We want to get those subscribers up, get to 14,000, and keep it moving along.
Yeah, Tom, with our last question and comment here, when is the PR battle plans? When are they coming out? Yeah, that's a good question. Free agency is coming up. We're going to start those later this week and this weekend. I'll have mine out on Thursday, and I think Josh Cape already has his done. So we'll have one battle plan a day heading into free agency. Remember, Wednesday is the day where free agency really begins in earnest. That's where players can switch teams and sign those deals. It starts with the conversations between agents and players on Monday. But Wednesday, we'll have all of our battle plans done by then. If you're not familiar with our Pewter Report battle plans, every Pewter reporter does their own battle plan, looking at which free agents to sign, which ones to re-sign. Some of the Bucks are already in the bank, obviously. But you can do trades. Well, we each have our own Bucks 7-round mock draft within the battle plan. They're really fun. And so everybody gets to chime in and play a little fantasy football and construct your own Buccaneers team.
Yeah, it makes it a good time, makes it good to fantasy book or fantasy GM, as some others say. So looking forward to that, looking forward to the rest of our shows that are coming up this week, tomorrow, and Thursday. So until then, for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.